Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Well, guys, it was a battle on a lot of fronts. You know, the number one defense in the league. You're battling injuries before and during the game.
It's coming.
The Mile High and those stripe guys, the referees. I mean, you had to overcome all those things to win that game. They took it to overtime, so it's not the end of the world. But it was, as Brady said, one of the toughest losses he's been involved in.
Yeah, I agree. It was a difficult loss, and I give the team and the offense a ton of credit for that last drive to get into field goal range. I always have faith there that they're going to move the ball and have an opportunity to score whatever they need. I didn't have a ton of faith in that situation. The way the game had gone, it seemed like it was just destined for the Patriots to lose. You are absolutely right. Every break, every official's call at a big time seemed to go against them. And yet they turned that around, and they were able to get down in field goal range, and Gostkowski, again, money from 47 yards in the snow.
Yep, absolutely. You know, and like you said, when it came down to that end, not a lot was working for their offense. And, you know, the play calling was suspect, I would say.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if all those throws down the sideline to Chandler eventually set up the Bolden touchdown, because it was kind of the same play.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the thinking was. And of course, no one in our great media asked Bill Belichick what the thinking was. Not that he would answer, but I thought that it was a legitimate.
Oh, and Andy, we're back home.
I thought it would have been a legitimate question to ask. What were you thinking going to Chandler again and again down the slot? What was that all about?
And I think reading between the lines and Brady after the game saying, you know, Chandler is going to need to be a big part of our offense moving forward. And this is when he wasn't sure what Gronkowski's status was, but I think he knows. They need Chandler to be a complementary aspect of this offense more than he's been this year. And I think we're seeing him invest that time. He's like he did with Brandon Lloyd. They invested in Lloyd because they thought there was going to be a payoff at the end. I think that's what it is with Chandler. Why it was this game and why it's deep balls down the right sideline lobbed up, I don't know.
The only thing I was thinking is the game before, Brady had about 7 throwaways. I guess the thinking is if instead of just throwing it to the ground, throw it downfield, maybe we'll get a hold, maybe we'll get a pass interference. It's the same thing at the end of the day, but maybe you get a penalty.
But he's also been consistent over the years. When he loses his top weapons, his top two or three comfort zone guys or security blankets, whatever you call them, for some reason, he goes deep more.
The response seems to be to get the ball downfield.
Don't know why.
Far more often than they've tried in the
past.
Well,
like I said, maybe you get something out of it.
Right.
Maybe today's NFL.
And maybe they feel like they treat other teams. On defense, they say, you're not going to go 80 yards in 12 plays.
That's my theory on it.
Now we can't go 80 yards in 12 plays. We need to steal a pass interference. We need to steal a big play because we're not consistent enough as constituted right now.
I might be able to hit a wheel route for Bolden for 60-plus yards in a touchdown, but I'm probably not going to be able to complete, you know, 4 third downs in a drive to keep the chains moving and do what we normally do. That's my theory, and I don't know.
4 third downs in a drive. They would have liked 4 third downs
in the game.
Yeah. The fight was there, particularly in the defense.
Absolutely.
Early in the game. You know, I thought they played really well. I think as the game wore on, I think the defense wore down a little bit. You know, I know the Patriots will never talk about the Mile High elements in the thin air, but it does take its toll on any athlete. And I think you saw that as the game went on. And I also think you saw Denver get a little bit more confident in Osweiler and him taking some more chances downfield, which exposed a little bit of the Patriots' secondary. You know, you started seeing some longer and longer passes getting complete. So I think those things factored in, you know, to Denver being able to start doing some things at the end of the game. But I think the defense, you know, played pretty well, you know, despite giving up 30 points, you know, through overtime.
I was disappointed in the run defense. I thought that had become something that week in and week out you could count on. They would do their job. They hadn't given up 100 yards in a month and a half, 5 games. They were under 4 yards a carry, and that the bottom kind of fell out of that. It certainly didn't help that they lost Hightower and he was sidelined for the second half.
It did. The numbers did go down after he went out.
They were running the ball relatively well, though, to start.
C.J. Anderson
Ronnie
came
Hillman
in running well immediately.
Was taking losses in the first half, and he started to pick up from there and move forward. But we talked about it on the pregame social on Patriots.com. This was a game where you needed to win in the trenches. You needed your offensive line to protect Brady. You needed your defensive front to stop the run. And in the end, they didn't do either.
Brady
got hit, I think, 13 times he was hit. Second straight week, he was hit double-digit times. That doesn't help you when you're already lacking your weapons and not comfortable throwing the ball.
And it was another one that was more as the game wore on. And, Fred, I think you're right about the fatigue. And I think it also affected the offensive line. At one point, I looked at Andy in overtime. The first play was an incomplete pass on a short dump that he didn't have a lot of time on. Then he got sacked. Then he had to throw one away as he was falling down. And I just looked at the offensive linemen. I looked at Andy. I said, they look like they're completely gassed.
Yeah.
And here we are in overtime in the Mile High air. They probably were. They
Plus,
probably
most of them
were.
Haven't played a full game all year because they rotated all year. They're not used to it.
Yeah, and, you know, I agree with you. The trenches is where this game had to be won. And I was a little disappointed. The health of the offensive line is actually better now. It's no longer, we can't talk about everybody being injured now.
This is your line. Now it's a soldier, but move on.
Now it's a matter of figuring out who are the five guys. They still haven't really figured that out yet, although Stork was the center throughout.
Right.
So they decided to put Vollmer at left tackle. In a game like that with the footing not good, the running game should have an advantage. Should have an advantage. And again, you know, I don't think White got enough opportunities. I you know, he did get some, but not in the running game. Not that much.
He didn't get a lot of touches
runs,
again. And he didn't do as much. He didn't do really anything with the touches that he got in this game as opposed to the previous game. But it's still four touches 2 weeks ago, five touches Sunday night. I just would like to see them in these times of need. Now, listen, you got the ball into Bolden's hands, and he made a big play for
Bolden
you.
Bolden was Lewis.
I'd like to see James White get a little bit more of an opportunity.
I think we're going to see that against the Eagles.
Going to kick it off this week talking a little bit about the Patriots' clock management at the end of the game against Denver. We already talked about all the deep balls they threw throughout the game, but this one is more about time management, and I thought the Patriots made a mistake in not keeping the ball on the ground and running clock. They get the first down to Gronkowski. There's a little bit less than 3 minutes left in the game. I think that was an opportunity to keep it on the ground, keep the clock moving, and making sure Denver used that final timeout. You had an opportunity to do that with a little less than 3 minutes. You get it down to the two-minute warning, and then you run another play, and you're going to be inside of 2 minutes, and Brock Osweiler is going to be in hurry-up panic mode. Instead, you gave them plenty of time. There were more than 2 minutes left because you threw the ball and you stopped the clock on a couple of occasions. I think this played right into Denver's hands. It's a rare mistake, I think, by Bill Belichick, but one I think that cost them in Denver. Now, it was certainly a disappointing performance overall by the Patriots' run defense after playing such strong football over the last couple of months. Number two ranked rush defense in football. They did not get it done in Denver. But one guy who I thought did get it done was Malcolm Brown. The rookie has been really coming on, I think, of late in the middle of that defensive line. I think he has sort of gotten himself to the top with Alan Branch. Those two guys, I think, I feel the best about in the middle of that defense. They're both collapsing the pocket a little bit on running plays, too. Even on early downs, I thought that Malcolm Brown had a sack in that game. I thought he had some pressure. I thought he got some penetration. This is a guy who I think everybody thought could be a replacement for Vince Wilfork in the draft, and you're starting to see why. This guy is really coming on. And everybody saw what happened to Chris Harper at the end of the Broncos game. His muff punt really allowed the Broncos to make that comeback and probably cost the Patriots the game, and then he was subsequently released. But I don't really think this was a cause-and-effect kind of situation. I think it's more an indication of the health of other guys. Keyshawn Martin returned for that game from his hamstring problem. He made it through. He played a lot of snaps. He didn't get targeted a lot during the game, but he was out there a lot, so obviously he's healthy. And I think Danny Amendola is probably going to be able to return pretty soon. By all indications, it was sort of a last-minute situation whether or not they wanted to have him travel to Denver. So I think with Amendola and Martin coming back, they're ahead of Harper on the depth chart. That's why Harper was let go, not because of the let go of the punt.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
At the end of the day, it's just a matter of, you know, focusing on your task at hand in that given moment. If you do that, chances are, you know, the operation will be smooth.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week from a disappointing yet exciting game in Denver. Here's how you hit a quarterback, Tavon Wilson, on Brock Osweiler. Playing the role of Deion Lewis, Brandon Bolden had a nice touchdown down the sideline. In this game, there were a number of plays that could have just swayed the outcome. Right after the Patriots muffed the punt, Denver did too, and this is how close the Patriots came to getting the ball back.
Players' Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
This week we have Patriots punter Ryan Allen, who was unfortunately a little bit busier probably than you would want to be out in Denver. What was the experience like, kicking in those conditions?
It definitely makes you focus on just your technique and kind of hone in and just really focus on what your job is. I mean, with any time you add weather conditions into it, there's less room for error, and you just gotta have a good focus when you're out there. So,
do you get a chance to see those when you have the plus 50 opportunities? One in particular was really close. You deadened it, and I think Brandon King got down there and got really close. Do you get a chance to see just how close those are to getting downed and sort of trickling in the end zone?
I mean, the only time you see it is like afterwards in film a little bit, just because from a peripheral position, like once I hit the ball, I mean, I can see those guys going down to make a play, but I can't see really what happens down there until like the play's dead and whatnot. But they did. I mean, coverage unit was great.
And that's only one part of your job. You're also asked to hold for Stevens' kicks, and once again, you guys are out there in a huge part of the game. Underrated in those kind of conditions, getting those holds down, catching the snaps, getting them held, and how is that any more difficult in those kinds of conditions?
At the end of the day, it's just a matter of focusing on what your task is and what your job is. I mean, Joe's job is to snap it, my job is to hold it, and Steve's job is to kick it. And Steve needs both of us to be precise and be consistent and smooth, and that's what we work on each day in practice. And so, when you have good chemistry with one another and work well as a unit and put in the time like we do, it gives us a good opportunity to go out there and be efficient.
Good news for a Patriots offense that has seen the point totals drop in the last few weeks. They get to face the Eagles and Chip Kelly's pretty poor defense this week at Gillette Stadium. The Eagles have allowed 45 points in consecutive losses. And guess what? Matthew Stafford, 5 touchdown passes. Jameis Winston, 5 touchdown passes. So Tom Brady, things have slowed down a bit, but good news. You're going to have 5 touchdown passes this week against the Eagles. We'll stick with the offense, and I'm going to be blunt here. LeGarrette Blount needs to be better. The last 3 weeks, the Patriots have tried to balance out the offense as they've lost weapons in the passing game, and Blount has not been up to the task. 3.5 yards per carry, 3.5 yards per carry, and 3 yards per carry. Just not good enough. Hasn't had any of those characteristic 20-plus yard runs that he breaks through defenses and takes it to the house at times. Eagles allowing 4.4 yards per carry on the season against their opponents. Blount needs to be better. Jumping to the defensive side of the ball, it's about one thing, tackling. It's all about tackling near the line of scrimmage. The Eagles want to run the football. DeMarco Murray has 155 carries, but hasn't done much with those carries. Only 3.5 yards per carry, been under 3 in 3 of the last 5 games, and their passing attack off those zone reads, mostly a short passing attack. They don't have any of their top 4 receivers averaging better than 11 yards per catch, and running backs are 2 of their top 4 targets. Tackle near the line of scrimmage on defense, you'll win this game.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
More importantly to me than undefeated is the fact that you now can manage your roster a little bit. You can see the injuries piling up.
You're going to manage it either way.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
It's widely believed that NFL owners are impatient. A head coach has 3 to 4 years at most to establish a winning program, or else. There's plenty of evidence to back that up. But impatience can be attributed to coaches as well, at least the high-profile ones. There's plenty of cases where it's the coach looking for greener pastures before his welcome is worn out by ownership. Patriots fans learned that firsthand when Bill Parcells engaged in talks with the New Jersey Jets during the 1996 season. The latest example is this week's opposing coach, Chip Kelly. Rumor has it that he's testing the waters elsewhere, and often when these rumors percolate, there's something to them. But wasn't it just last offseason that Kelly pretty much got full control over the Eagles? With his history of movement, it would seem that Kelly is one of those impatient coaches. Any team looking at Kelly, best beware. Just ask a Patriots fan.
There's been a lot of talk about the quality of play. The overall quality of what we're watching every single week has been down in the NFL this year, and I would have to agree. These games have really become tough to watch. There's a couple of reasons for that. One, injuries are really taking hold. If you look at the quality quarterbacks alone, Joe Flacco, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Tony Romo, guys that are really frontline players for their teams missing significant time. And it's not just the quarterbacks. You got guys like Jamal Charles, Le'Veon Bell, Kelvin Benjamin, Jordy Nelson, guys that are really important players on their offenses, they're gone too. And then you throw in the officiating, which has been an absolute mess. These games have become borderline unwatchable. Unfortunately, everybody's watching, so it doesn't really matter. And I don't think it's going to really matter to Roger Goodell. He wants to add games to the schedule. Evidently, he doesn't see the problem, but everybody else does.
Paul just wondered why people are still watching the NFL in record numbers, and I'll tell you why. It's simple. Elite athletes making elite plays. Odell Beckham Jr. with another incredible catch, this time with the left hand, diving. Cam Newton setting the quarterback position back 50 years, but in a good way. Have you seen the guy run? He's like a fullback. Tyler Eifert, 12 touchdowns for the Cincinnati Bengals with a big arm brace on. J.J. Watt, another arm brace guy. There are endless impressive athletes dominating the National Football League. Yes, there are some injuries. Yes, there are some problems with the officials, but the action is still sure fun to watch.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Everyone knows Paul Perillo and I are always looking for the silver lining. And this week, the question is, are the Patriots better off in the long run having lost a game?
I'm finding it. It is true. They are better off. Absolutely. It takes a little of the pressure off. I mean, undefeated seasons are nice. You never want to lose. I didn't want to lose going into the game. But now that it's happened, in hindsight, I think long term, it might be a better thing for them to eliminate that December filled of tension. And I remember in 2007 how much that weighed on the team. You eliminate that.
You may have created some tension because you no longer could cruise through December and, right, to the number one seed. You know, you lost to a team that's competing for a number one seed.
I'm not overly concerned with that.
You could be looking at seeding. But more importantly, you didn't lose the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 42 because you were undefeated. You lost because you got your ass kicked by the Giants that day, by the Giants front. The fact that you're undefeated in the regular season has no bearing on winning a championship. Because guess what? You have to go undefeated during the postseason to win a Lombardi trophy. That's the way it works.
That's really profound.
And guess what else? There's a ton of pressure in the Super Bowl because it defines your career. There are billions of people watching on TV all over the world, so there's always going to be pressure. Losing in November doesn't help you win a Super Bowl.
So those things that you just said are very accurate. There's a lot of pressure already. So why add unnecessary pressure?
There's no added pressure.
Of trying to match this stupid 1972 Dolphins thing. Let Carolina deal
with it. You've done the hard work once you've gotten there, right? You're undefeated. Win the game.
And there's more things involved than just that. Now, more importantly to me than undefeated is the fact that you now can manage your roster a little bit. You can see the injuries piling up.
You were going to manage it either way.
No, I think they were going to have issues and
if
distractions.
If guys are healthy, he's going to play them. If they're not healthy, he's not going to play them. That's what he does.
Last year, there's some guys that sat out late in the season.
We're dealing with injuries.
That could have played.
Correct?
As far as I know, Rob Gronkowski wasn't dealing with injuries at the end of the year.
That's a different case. He is now.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is now you have that option because I am not concerned with locking up the number one seed. That's going to happen. Maybe it's going to take a week longer.
Maybe.
It's going to happen.
Maybe.
Yes.
But if you don't, then you guarantee you have to play people in
Week 17.
As long
as you get a bye, you're in a good spot.
But the bigger issue is everyone feels like this weight has been lifted from the shoulders of the team, and maybe fans. Maybe they're the ones who are actually feeling the pressure.
Well, that's what we are at heart. Aren't we all fans?
Fans have no bearing. I don't mean to be mean. You have no bearing on who wins the Super Bowl. The pressure on you does not affect the team. The team would win the Super Bowl undefeated or lose it undefeated because of the way they played that day in February.
But I'm not dealing with pressure with the fans. I'm dealing with the 2007 Patriots talked about a lot of pressure, pressure.
Yeah, you know that what the eliminates pressure was? That. The Giants front pressuring Tom Brady. It was pressure on the field. Nothing more, nothing
less.
It's
not a good thing that they lost, but it's not the end of the world.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's question time, but first, you know, the first thing I thought of after the Patriots loss was, how does that affect the Wilson Hart Power Index?
And is Buffalo still in the top six?
Right.
Buffalo not still in the top six, and the Patriots are still number one in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Which should be.
You're happy about.
Yes.
Now, who do you think should be number two?
Who do I think? Carolina.
Carolina.
They're number three. The Cincinnati Bengals are number two with their 9-2 mark. So the 11-0 Panthers, which are all worked up and they don't get enough respect, the numbers don't respect them either. Certainly the way they win is contrary to some of the modern expectations statistically. So, yeah, they're number three. Down the bottom, Jacksonville Jaguars surpassed the Lions for last place.
All right, let's get to the questions. This first one's from Adam Connor, and he wants to know why Matthew Slater isn't used as a wide receiver more.
I actually think it's a great question because they went deep so many times in Denver, and he's your fastest receiver. He's the guy you've used in that role at times over the years, and suddenly it's Chandler and Brandon LaFell, and they even used, remember when we were in the joint practice with the Saints, and Slater got a ton of work at receiver, and he was doing all kinds of things, and you're like, he made a couple nice catches. I really don't have an answer as to why, if you're going to go deep that often, other than maybe it just tips it off to the defense, hey, Slater's on the field, they're going deep, but I'd like to see him get a chance over some
and
of the guys.
And I think when you have elements like that and the footing's a little slippery, I think the offensive player has the advantage.
Sure.
Because he knows where he's going.
Sure.
You know? Next is Brett Larson. He says, what's up with the Broncos targeting the knees on any Patriots player in possession of the ball? He thinks, you know, they were doing that on purpose.
It's called tackling.
I really don't know what you do with these big guys and how you tackle them in the open field especially. You could do what they did, the Broncos did in the first drive, and just allow Rob Gronkowski to go 23 yards basically untouched for a touchdown. You know, they'd fallen off of him trying to drag him down. He's a big moose. How do you tackle him without going low? It's unfortunate that we've seen knee injuries and guys get hurt, but there were a lot of low tackles in that game, and that was the only one that I know of that resulted in an injury. It's a byproduct of the game. I think Tom Brady said it perfectly after the game. How else are you going to get a guy like that to the ground?
All right. Next is Chad Logo, and he wants to know, or he thinks that the Patriots are unfairly being given another night game. He heard that, you know, they got their Houston game flexed out. Yep. He thought the Patriots had already gone over, or was at the limit for primetime games.
No, the limit is 6, and when you're as good as the Patriots are and you have opponents on your schedule that are playing better and now competitive, and all the storylines that Houston brings with New England South, and the game that was supposed to be there, the Ravens, have fallen apart. You don't want to have the Ravens on that game. So that's the price you pay for being such a good football team, and now they're at the limit. No more can be
flexed.
They're
at the limit now.
They're at the limit. They got 6 now, so you're done.
So could they change their mind and flex them out and do another game?
No, because you passed the deadline,
so there's
when
a deadline.
You have to announce the flexing.
Okay.
So, plus, the Patriots are still good. I know you think the sky is falling, but the Patriots are still a dominant team.
He turned the tables on you.
Disregard.
I haven't given up yet.
Scratch that.
Unlike you, I didn't cancel my reservations in San Francisco.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Neither does he.
Yeah. All right, that's it for this week. Every week, send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com.